This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Lisa Koenig.
And I'm Mike Murray.
From the RTDNA website comes this item, the first ever National Summit on Plagiarism and Fabrication. Will be held April 5th in St. Louis, Missouri, as part of the American Copy Editors Society National Conference. The summit will feature a panelist discussion on the common causes of plagiarism, steps to prevent it, and how to handle incidents. What do you think, Mike? Are we seeing increasing incidents of plagiarism? I guess, why do you feel that these folks believe there is a need for a summit on plagiarism and fabrication?
There must be a fair amount of it going on, and I think probably a lot of what qualifies as plagiarism is kind of innocent, in the sense that people are borrowing material from others and not citing it. I suppose, you know, plagiarism is one of those things you can define, you know, very technically as simply not attributing the source when you've borrowed material, or, you know, and then presenting it as your own. That would be plagiarism. Now, you know, what I guess the question, the debatable issue about it is, you know, what is the intent behind that? I know, you know, periodically I have known of various writers in the newspaper business who have borrowed sections of columns from other people they admired a lot and included it in their own columns and so forth. Without necessarily attributing it mm-hmm. in the sense that, you know, this came from so-and-so, you know, and we're including it here because it's great and it's what we think and that sort of thing, column type of thing. I suppose it's a little more, you know, that's commentary type of thing. I suppose it's a little more heinous when you would fabricate, you know, somebody who gave you, you know, in the radio, a radio example of it would be where we fabricate a soundbite, say somebody, you know, said something or have somebody say something and then report it as having been said by someone else. I've had students try that, by the way, in some of my feature programs. And if I don't know who they are, it's very easy to get away with. So I suppose that happens in our business periodically, and it needs to be addressed.
I noticed they have a session about professors and preventing plagiarism in the classroom. And, sure. And by the way, it's a summit that's also – the title is also – has sessions addressing fabrication as well. Mm-hmm. And when I started teaching, I thought plagiarism would be a problem. But what I have had more problems with students doing is fabrication.
Yeah.
I've had students fabricate quotes. And when I call the person they supposedly interviewed – the person says, I never talked to this student. I've also had a completely fabricated story. The person was real, but he was really a WIU student and not serving on a fire department in another town, as I discovered when I called the fire chief there. And in these cases, they're taking shortcuts. And I think in the case of professionals, it turns out they're taking shortcuts, and we've discussed some higher profile cases like Fareed Zakaria,
yes.
Jonah Lehrer, most recently a science journalist. Part of, I think, what's contributing to the problem is just the fast news cycle and, you know, the smaller staffs.
And part of it's this whole aggregation idea where stuff is just taken from websites, and that
there
does not seem to be a big deal, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of where I was headed with, you know, what I was saying about borrowing stuff and sticking it in a column, for example, or including it in a radio story verbatim without having said where it came from, because it's just out there, you know. And I guess, you know, students and maybe, you know, reporters and whatnot, you know, they feel they can just harvest this material and stick it in their own material and recycle it that way, you know, because of the fast news cycle, lack of funds to and lack of time, deadlines, the whole speed of life is increasing, as we all know. And I think that has an impact on the amount of plagiarism and fabrication we're seeing.
Well, and there are smaller staffs, too, which means there's fewer people to maybe double-check that work and make sure it's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa, when you double-check, when you make these calls based on what you're seeing from students, is it because you're suspicious, or do you routinely, just randomly perhaps, choose a few stories and do quick follow-ups on them to make sure everything's true?
Usually there's something suspicious that makes me question whether a quote is right. And also what I also always do is I look up the names, first of all, to check spellings on the online directory, because usually the students are writing about other students or people on campus. And then if I can't find that person in the directory, then I start doing more checking. And that's often how I'll detect a fabrication. Yeah. But I don't have time to, you know, I can't vet every single paper that I grade. So I'm sure there are more that I haven't caught.
Exactly.
But I think it's interesting that this this summit is being organized by, as you mentioned, a copy editors association, a professional association. Mm-hmm. And copy editors in newsrooms are really the gatekeepers. They come in the evenings. They read all the stories. And so they're there for quality control. And so I'm sure they're feeling more pressure to look out for plagiarized or fabricated stories.
Hey, we've run out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.